Hello and welcome, glory to God, for He is good, and His power, His wonders, His goodness, His mercy endures forever, and that's why we are here, to glorify Him for who He is. Pastor Josh loves you, and Jesus, He loves you even more, and we know that the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it has authority, it has the power to move the mountains, the power to give us everything that we need in order to get through each and every day, through the challenges and through the circumstances that are out of our control, but it's not out of God's control. And that's why we come together to praise the Lord each and every day and to trust in Him in all that we do. Welcome, everybody, because we know that God has good words for you that's gonna build you up and lead you towards a growing relationship that allows you to be in eternal security and eternal stability of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. So hello, everybody. Tubby Mario, Cardi. Hello, James Hart from UK. Hey, what's good? It is Friday. I hope you guys are having an amazing, amazing week so far. And this Friday, wow, I have Friday Night Youth. I have next week, I have a retreat coming up on Monday to Thursday. So it's going to be an extremely busy week. I might have to miss Tuesday and Wednesday because I have a retreat. And the internet's really, really bad out in the mountains. So, you know, we'll just try our best to be able to glorify God in all that we do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we're looking at this passage from 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. And we're looking at how God's grace is greater than our sin. God's grace is greater than our sins. Amen. So let's just read it, and then we're going to have some amazing, amazing reflection and deep dive into this passage and even more thoughts in order to solidify our relationship with God in our knowledge of Him and in what we should do in our own life as we walk in His ways, in His presence, and in His love. And so, yeah, praise the Lord. This is amazing. Let's read it. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, became king of Israel in Samaria. And then he reigned for 17 years, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord by following the sins of Jeroboam. And then, son of Nebat, and happy birthday to everyone who is a July birthday, and which he had caused Israel to commit, he did not turn away from them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. For a long time, he kept them under the power of Hazael, king of Syria, and Ben-Hadad, his son. And Jehoahaz has brought and sought the Lord's favor, and the Lord listened to him, for he saw how severely the king of Syria has and was oppressing Israel. And the Lord provided a deliverer for Israel, for they escaped from the power of Aram, which is Syria. So the Israelites lived on their own homes as they did before, and then they did not turn away from their sins of the house of Jeroboam, which has caused Israel to commit. And they continued in them. As also the Asherah pole remained standing in Samaria. Nothing has been left of the army of Joahaz except for 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 foot soldiers. For the king of Aram had destroyed the rest and made them like dust at a threshing time. As for the other event of the reign of Jehoahaz, all he did and his achievements, are they not written in the book of annals of the kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Jehoash, his son, succeeded him as king. And in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned for 16 years. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did not turn away from any of the sin of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit. And he continued in them. And then as for all the other events in the reign of Jehoash, all that he did and his achievement, including the war against Amaziah, the king of Judah, are they not written in the books of annals of the kings of Israel? And Jehoash rested with his fathers, and Jeroboam succeeded him on the throne. And Jehoash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Wow. This is not easy to understand if you're just listening. But lo and behold, I'm going to help you guys understand. So Lord God, we come before you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord God, I pray that you would allow us to understand clearly exactly what you're saying, exactly what you want us to learn from this passage from 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. And Lord God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move in this place and that we would be able to glorify you in all the words, in all the things that we say, and in your wisdom. Father, we are so good, and so we praise you all the days of our life. And we listen to your word because it is alive and powerful and authoritative. And it is just so good to hear someone be able to speak the word of God. Lord, you are glorious and we love you because you loved us first. In Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. Baby Pan, I was holding him the past 3 hours. Now he is resting somewhere else with my wife. And so we're here. Reading the Word of God together. So what is the reflection here? Number one, it's not too late. And number two, a nation divided. So it's not too late. Not too late to turn back to God. Not too late as long as you're alive. But then there must be a sense of urgency to turn to Him, the one true God, who sets us free from the bondage of the world, the bondage of the devil, the bondage of sin that holds so many people down and leads them towards an empty and a life that is void. And so, right now, King Jehoahaz reigns in Samaria for 17 years and does evil in the eyes of the Lord. But when King Hazael of Aram opposes Israel, Jehoahaz turns to the Lord. What a contrast from the response of Judah's king, Joash, who buckled under pressure. And in the previous passage, we can see how King Joash, he took all the gold, the articles, the things that were dedicated to God by himself and by the forefathers like King Jeroboam and the previous kings. They dedicated to God. And he took and ransacked the temple of its gold and its treasure. And he gave it to the king of Aram of Syria. So instead of turning to God, what he did was turn to his own abilities to keep himself alive so that he would be able to continue reigning and secure his own throne. But not long after, he committed such evil deeds against God by stealing from God and stealing what's dedicated to God and giving it to his enemy. What happened? He was assassinated by his own officials in his courts. So he did not live long. And so here, King Jehoahaz, it seems like he learned from the mistake of King Joash. And he did not buckle under pressure. Instead, he turned to the one true God. One true God who actually delivered him and saved his people. The result of God's deliverance of his people was there. So it's not too late right now to turn away from your sin and to call on God's salvation. And sometimes life's troubles serve as a catalyst for our repentance. Like the things that are driving us, things that are unexpected, things that just come up and arise that are difficult, trial, tribulations, it's a test to see if you are truly going to turn back to the one true God, the God for our salvation, who saves us from our sin, saves us from our selfish desires and our flesh, saves us from the world and from the devil and from hell, from eternal separation from God. It's time to turn to Him, to say, yes, Lord, I will follow You all the days of my life. Yes, Lord, I cannot live my life alone. So I need You, Lord. So sometimes life's trouble serves as the catalyst for our repentance. And when we face difficulties, we have the choice between drawing close to God or turning away from Him. And when you do turn to God, you will find that God is able to deliver you from your trials and help you endure through them. God is able to deliver you. God is able to bring you out of the darkness. If you're feeling like you're living in anxiety, in fear, you're living in pain, in uncertainty and depression, you know, God is able to help turn those events around and to give you that eternal security in Him. This is the Lord our God that we serve, the God who is all-powerful, El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is the God who has all things under His rule, His reign, and He is able to control the events of the world. For example, when Donald Trump, he was being shot at and an assassination attempt was at towards him, all that time, he could have been shot and assassinated. But one split second, he turned his head to look at a sign of immigration. And he was talking about how good he was with his administration at keeping the borders with and boundaries with other countries so that it would not spill over to the United States of America. That one split second, he turned his head. Boom! That bullet struck his ear. It could have gone through his skull, but by the grace of God, it protected him. And so we can see how God is able to intervene. In that split second, God did not rescue him from being shot at. God rescued him from being killed, from being eliminated, because God has predestined for him to be where he is right now. Amen. And so that's why we're here, to recognize that our God is in control and that judgment is actually coming for each one of us, whether we're righteous or unrighteous. God's judgment, one day we will be standing before Him, before the Almighty God, and we will come before Him and He will review our life, whether we are in a relationship with the Heavenly Father or in a denial or in rejection or saying no to Jesus. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then He will say, my son, because of what He's done on that cross, He's covered you with His blood, and you are made righteous. I see you as I see my son, Jesus Christ. And that's all done because Jesus, He gave up His divinity, His power in heaven, and He came and He humbled Himself to become human. And He laid Himself down for you as a servant, as a slave. And He died accused as a criminal, even when He did not do anything wrong. He was accused as someone who was one of the biggest criminals of all time. Yet, He is actually the biggest savior of all time. And so he was whipped on the back, 39 lashes with stone and glass that ripped his skin 39 times. I can only imagine, after one whip, man, I'm out of there. I'll be on the ground. I'll be in agony. But he was whipped for 39 times. So that you no longer have to be held down by your addictions. You no longer have to be held down by your flesh. No longer have to be held down by your sin. By the bondage of the world. So that you can be set free. And not only that, he carried the cross to the Mount of Skull, up the mount. And then he was crucified on that cross with his arms pierced and his feet pierced for us. And he bled and he died. And they even pierced him on the side just to make sure he was extra dead. This is what Jesus did. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross so that when you say yes to Jesus, you may have eternal life with him in heaven and in this life. You may have family members who passes, but you know that death is not the end. Death is the beginning of this eternal life. Eternal life, either with Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, or eternal separation from God Himself. And that's why when we know that our brothers and sisters, they pass away and they love the Lord their God, our God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. We know that they're in somewhere that is better. And that's why we rejoice with them. I know it's not easy when your granddad passed away, when your grandmother passed away. But if they are truly rooted in God, we know we will see them one day in heaven, in His presence, where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, in His presence, which is all-powerful, all-glorious, which is such a good place to be. No more sickness and disease. They are somewhere that is better. And we may miss them, but we know that God, one day you'll be reunited with Him in heaven. And it's okay to cry, because that's our human instincts. We cry for another. We grieve for another. Especially when it's family. So you're not alone. You're not alone. And you're to carry on strong. Because to live is Christ. We live for Christ, and to die is gain. So turn to God, so that He may deliver you from your trials and help you endure and persevere through them, so that He may help you grow in such a way that is honoring Him, that is glorifying Him, that you would reflect His glory, His light, His love, His goodness, His mercy. You're not alone. And so, it's never too late. Until you die. Then, that's the beginning of eternity. But right now is the time to turn to God. Because when death actually happens, then it's too late. And too many people are actually saying, tomorrow, I'll give my life to God. Tomorrow, I'll say yes to Jesus. But you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know if today is the last day of your life. Life is so fragile, so short, that we must turn to Jesus today. What if you don't survive to tomorrow? Then that would be the end. And that's why today's the day you must give your life to Christ and repent of your sin and to glorify Him with your life and to say, "Yes, Lord, I will commit to you. I will commit to you all the days of my life. I will walk with you. I have a relationship with you. I'll read your word and pray to you every day. Because life without God, it's even harder. But when you have Jesus on your side, you know that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. You know that He's in control. And you don't have to worry. Because our God, He's stronger. He's more powerful than your situation. And so we praise God for that. For being our Lord, our King, our Savior. For being the one that never lets us down. Amen. Oh man, I'm so sorry to those who have dropped. Yeah. Amen. And next, we also see a divided nation. A reoccurring pattern in the account of the kings of Israel is their refusal to turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And this underscores the weaknesses that characterized both Israel and Judah after the kingdom split. And in the gospel, Jesus warns that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The physical and spiritual threats of both nations are a clear result of their weaknesses due to division and disunity. When God's people refuse to come together in spite of their differences, the result is always the weakening of the church and the triumph of evil over our communities. We need to work at maintaining the unity of the Spirit among ourselves as God's people. You see, Jesus is the one that unites us. Jesus is the one that brings us together. Jesus is the ultimate glue in a community. Without Jesus, the community falls apart. Without Jesus, darkness overtakes that place. Without Jesus, we will see ruin and destruction. And that is why it's so important and crucial that we bring Jesus back into our nation, starting with ourselves. We need Jesus in our life. Jesus be the Lord and Savior that we follow, that we obey, that we have a relationship with. We need to bring Jesus back. And then bring Jesus back into our family, into our community, into our church, into our schools. We need to bring Jesus back into our state. Bring Jesus back into our country, into our nation, into the world. Because when we bring Jesus back, He will unite us. He will guide us. And He will give us everything that we need in order to get through this dark, dark, hard world. Bring Jesus back. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. He's knocking on the doors of your heart. What would you do if He's knocking on your door? Would you open the door to Him and say, "Welcome, I love you, Jesus. I love being with you. Or would you hide behind the door and shut it behind it, use yourself? Too many people are following and chasing the things of the world, and it is leading them towards a path that is unsatisfying, towards a path that is of ruin and destruction. And that's why we're here, to teach the Word of God, to share about Jesus, to have Jesus time, to have devotion to our Lord, our Savior, to be an example for others, so that He may be made known, so that He may be exalted in our life. Otherwise, there would be continual division and disunity amongst people. We need Jesus so much. And your body, your life, cannot be divided in two. You cannot serve two masters at once. You can only have one. And Jesus should be the one. Not money, not security, not stability. I mean, those are great. Not the things of the world. But Jesus should be your number one. And then Jesus is the one that can give you that love, everlasting love, everlasting joy, eternal peace. Jesus is the one that can give you eternal stability, and that stability that we need in our life. The security that we are secured in the Lord. Our future is secured. Our children's future is secured. When we walk in His ways, when we follow after Him, when we build our life upon His firm foundation, then He will make a way for us when there is no way. We must commit to Him. For Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord, our Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father Bennett, glory to God. I'm still rejoicing at the child Jesus gave to you. Hosanna. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad you're still here. And we can give God all the glory. Father Bennett, it's great. You know, I received great joy from you as well. I'm so glad when you said, it was done, it's over, adios. Man, it was so hard for me. But I understood that we content creators, we ministers also need to take sabbaticals and rest. But I'm so glad you're back, preaching the Word, sharing the Word of God, allowing others to experience Him, having more Jesus time. Your Word has power, brother. So you are to bring Jesus into your community. And so some of us were called to bring Jesus here online, to preach His Word, to share His Word, to show His love, and to be sacrificing our time, our energy for Him. But in the end, we don't see it as a sacrifice, because Jesus, He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He laid His life down for you and I. And there's no greater love than this, but one to lay down their life for another. And that is what Jesus did. And I saw Donald Trump. He quoted that quote that Jesus said Himself, there's no greater love than this, but one to lay down his life for another. For this man who died at his rally, who was a police firefighter, a chief. And it's so tough to see how the devil's trying to divide, trying to stop what God is ordaining, what God is doing. God No one can stop God. And if God is for you, then who can be against you, right? And God is for our leaders. He's for you. He's for you. Father Bennett, Jesus has showed us mercy. Hosanna in the highest. Glory to God. And so we praise God. When you give your life to Jesus, someone said here, Solar, we praise God. He says, 2 days ago, I had finally decided to follow the path of Jesus. The past I've had with school and all that made me turn away, but now I've decided to follow the right path. And we say, amen. Glory to God. The angels rejoices with you. Everyone here rejoice with you for another soul being saved. And that's why we're here, to plant the seeds of the gospel and to save more souls so that they can say yes to Jesus forever. And so we have Jesus time here so that you can be pointed to Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the best relationship you can ever have. Jesus, who wants to elevate you, pull you up, and to save you from the darkness, save you from the ways of the world, and to bring you towards the right path. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, the path. Jesus is the way. He's the path. He's the truth, and the truth will set you free. He's the life, and He gives you life, and life eternal. And that's why we're here. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. So here in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 13, we're really looking at how the evil reigns of Jehoahaz and Jehoash in Israel. In the final days of Elisha, there was a strong contrast between weak and strong character. And the evil reign of Jehoahaz in Israel shows a weak character who seeks the Lord but fails to repent. He lasted for 17 years, and his failure in sin was that he followed in the ways of Jeroboam. He engaged in idolatry, and he was a stumbling block leading Israel and the people into false worship. His discipline and chastisement from the Lord subjected Israel to Syrian oppression during that time. But then he did seek of and the deliverance by the Lord. And the king sought the Lord. The Lord heard the king's cry. He provided a deliverer, saved them from Syrian oppression. He gave a period of peace and security for the people from Syria. So God is able to rescue those who call upon His name. He rescue you from your enemies. He rescue you from the darkness. He rescues you from evil when you call upon Him. I remember when I was in complete isolation, when I was in complete pain and addiction and gaming, in darkness, when there was no way out. Yet, I was able to cry upon the Lord God, whom I learned about the past 25 years, whom I was just a lukewarm Christian, not on fire for Him. I was able to cry out to Him, Lord Jesus, I need You at my rock bottom. And He heard me. He heard my cry, just like He heard King Jehoahaz. And He delivered me. He saved me. His divine intervention came through. And the oppression of that sin and bondage, the chains of addiction, chains of isolation, slowly fell off. First, He led me to a church, River of Life Christian Church in Santa Clara. And He brought me there. And I sat in the back, in that dark room, where they worshiped God for 1 hour straight. And then they had their message. And they worshiped again. And from then on, I just attended. And was in the presence of God. I cried in the back. In pain. In suffering. Well, actually, it was not pain and suffering. It was being relieved. Relief. Being redeemed to Him. Being reconciled to Him. Finding God in my darkest moment. I was like, never again. Never again. I will walk in your ways all the days of my life. And during those 6 weeks, 3 months of crying straight, every week at the back, I would have snobs falling off my nose and my tears crying because I felt the presence of God, which was so strong, which I cannot forget, upon me, saying, "You are my child, and I love you, I care for you, and I have good plans for you. Come to me, draw closer to me, and I will draw close to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in me, in you." And then I did so. And there I committed my life to Him. I was to choose between following a businessman who was successful or to following God. He was a Christian, but I wanted to follow Jesus, who is the greatest leader of all time. This man was a great leader, and I would be surrounded by other great leaders. But God led me down this path of ministry, of sharing the word of God. And He said, "If you follow me, I will guide you. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. I'll add to you." Actually, I didn't hear Him say that during that time. But over this period of time, now it's been 9 years. He's been continually adding to me. Continually giving me more than enough. Continually blessing me. And doing exceedingly above what I can imagine, think, and ask for. So if you need deliverance from your enemy, then you need to turn to God. Go to a church. A church that loves the Lord, that's on fire for Him, that leads you towards Him. If there's a church called Bread of Life near your place, go. Bread of Life, because Jesus is the bread of life, so that you may never go hungry. Jesus is the river of life. He is the living water, so that you may never go thirsty again. He delivered me. I had nothing. I gave up all my jobs, everything, because I was just that rock bottom. I dropped the ball. But when He came, He fed me. He surrounded me with the right people. And now, I have even greater leadership surrounding me, building me up, letting me grow as an individual in Christ so that I can help others grow as well. You're not alone. So God gave a period of peace and security to the people. And He provided a deliverer and saved them from the Syrian oppression. And I can see how God has given me a period of peace. How He's given me security. And that's all glory to God. I could not have asked for more. And then, nevertheless, King Jehoahaz later, they refused to repent. They continued in sin, especially sins of idolatry, false worship, sins that draw them away from God and towards the world, towards ruin and destruction. And they did not destroy the idols, the poles, the Asherah poles in Samaria, which symbolizes the false goddess. And so God's judgment, the judgment from the Lord, was renewed, and Syria destroyed most of Israel's army, the men of Israel. God has given you the opportunity to turn back to Him. He's given you security and stability so that you may be able to acknowledge that He is your Lord, your Savior. Acknowledge that there's no one like Him. That He's the one that, the way, the truth, the life. This is our God. Wow. I need to repent of my sins. I need to repent of slothfulness, laziness, procrastination. I need to repent and do what's needed to be done. In my mind, I'm thinking of the seminar I'm going to be giving to go from consumer to producer. So I'll be working on that today. And then I'll present it to my youth. And then I'll present it to the Horizon Ministry. Yes. It's not easy. But by the grace of God, He's given me everything that I need in order to do His will. He gave us everything. Right, Chen Hui? He did. Amen. So the achievement and summary of King Jehoahaz was recorded in the history of the kings of Israel. His death and burial was in Samaria, and his successor was Jehoash, his son, a weak character who built and left a legacy of evil. So we can see how people leave a legacy, whether it's evil or good, in the eyes of God. We need a strong character in Christ to leave a legacy of goodness, of God's goodness. And so we continue with the evil reign of Jehoash in Israel. His reign lasted for 16 years, and his failure and sin was continuing the sins of Jeroboam, and he did not turn away from a single sin. And his achievement and the summary of his life, it was that he reigned, his reign, his war against Judah, instead of fighting against Syria, he was fighting against the southern kingdom. And his death and burial was in Samaria. And his successor was Jeroboam, named after the evil Jeroboam. Ooh. We already went through our reflections. But I'm just trying to take this all in. There's a lot of things. The contrast between weak and strong character is much needed topic of discussion today. Men and women with strong character and integrity are desperately needed at every level of society. But what is often too often found in men and women are insincere deceptive, impure, dishonest, corrupt, wicked, and evil. They should, instead of being living lives of, they should be living lives of honor, of purity, morality, sincerity. We too become men and women of integrity, uprightness, holding ever so high the principles of common decency, righteousness, and justice for all people everywhere. The only hope for society, the only hope for handling the lawlessness and violence of the world, is for us to become men and women of strong character. We must develop characters of truth and integrity, righteousness and justice, kindness and goodness, compassion and care, faith and just. This is the practical subject of the present scripture. Shifting to the northern kingdom, the author gives a brief summary of two kings with weak character, and he covers the final days of the great prophet Elisha, contrasting his strong character with the weak characters of the two evil kings. And this is the evil reigns of Jehoahaz and Jehoash in Israel, and the final days of Elisha, a contrast between weak and strong character. And we can see that there was evil reign of Jehoahaz in Israel. Looking at the brief description of Jehoahaz's reign, Israel's faith in and worship of the Lord were seen cast upon and trampled upon and shamed. Just how far away the Lord had turned and the people had turned the Lord, the people, from the Lord, the people had turned is graphically described in this scripture. The newly crowned King Jehoahaz did little, if anything, to lead people back to the Lord. He was a man of weak character who occasionally sought the Lord, especially during moments of crisis, but he failed to fully repent of his evil. This is important, guys. To fully repent of all the evil, all the destruction, all the sin, we must do so. Because if we let sin linger in our life, that sin will come back to bite us. Just like we saw in King Solomon, King Jeroboam, and then the lines that came after him. There's a lot to cover. But let me see. A lesson is, when caught in desperate situation, Jehoahaz sought the Lord, but he failed to repent. And he did what so many people did. When they faced crisis, they become desperate and cry out to the Lord for deliverance. And when God delivers them, they never truly repent, turning away from their sins, and they never turn back to the Lord, worshiping Him with righteous life. Likewise, when we cry out in desperation, the Lord often acts in compassion and mercy, delivering us and meeting our need. But tragically and shamefully, we too continue on in our lifestyle of sinfulness, committing sins of immorality, impurity, vulgarity, cursing, swearing, blasphemy, corruption, false worship, witchcraft, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, greed, drunkenness, drug and substance abuse. But God's patience is long-suffering. Hello, Ben. God cares about you. His dealing with you is with mercy and compassion. Having a limit, eventually, He has to execute justice upon you. He has to chastise and discipline you. And even in His discipline and chastisement, God is seeking to correct you by arousing you to turn back to Him. so that you can realize that you need His help. But once God has heard your prayers and cries, you must repent and turn to Him. Amen. And so, you must never have an impenitent heart, a heart that is self-willed, stubborn, inflexible, callous, unyielding, and closed to God. The Word of God said in Luke chapter 16, verse 31, "But He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.'" Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, "And they did not repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their immorality, nor their thefts." A problem, right, Sarah? Is that people are not repenting. People are not turning away from their sin, rejecting sin, fleeing from it. They're not pursuing God, pursuing righteousness, holiness, sanctification. And that's a big problem. And that's why it's so important that we repent to Him now, today, to allow Him to transform us, make us more holy and righteous. We must focus our eyes on things above and not on earthly things. And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is stiff-necked people. People unwilling to turn back to Him. And yet He sent His prophets to them, and to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear." That is the reality of this world. People are not willing to hear the Word of God. Even when they hear it, they're not willing to repent. And so we must repent and turn to the Lord in order to be saved and delivered from enemies of this life. And repentance is an absolutely essential thing for you to in order to receive the fullness of life, an abundance of life that is promised to you, and the promise of eternal life, that you can come closer to God and come to God and His presence. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "And saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repent. "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I tell you, nay, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will be, and you will all likewise perish." So repent. Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that all the times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. The baby's right in front of me. Right now. He's just chilling, resting. Try not to cry. The baby's crying even more nowadays, but we repent. Repent, therefore, of any wickedness. Pray to God, and perhaps the thought of God's heart may forgive you. The intentions of your heart may be forgiven. So He's calling you to repent today and not in the future. I mean, not just in the future, but today. Not wait till the future, but repent now. Turn to Him. Let Him be your Lord, your Savior. Amen. Glory to God. And next we see the son of the current king, Jehoahaz. The son is Jehoash. And there was an evil reign of Jehoash in Israel. Only a brief summary is given of Jehoash's reign, although he plays a significant part of the death of Elisha, which we get to see tomorrow. And in the reign of King Amaziah, due to war, he launched against Judah. So he was launching as Israel against Judah. Oh, man. And Jehoash, he took the throne in 37 years of Joash, king of Judah, and he reigned for a period of 16 years. And note that his father, Jehoahaz, has begun his reign in the 23rd year of Joash, and reigned for 17 years, a difference of 14 years. Most likely, this means that Jehoash ruled in co-regency with his father for a period of 3 years. And like his father, he failed the Lord and continued the sins of Jeroboam. And sadly, he became even more entrenched in idolatry and false worship than his father had, refusing to turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam. You can repent through our Lord Jesus. What a legacy to leave to the world, that the naming of one son after a famous leader who had lived an evil and wicked life. Yet this is exactly what Jehoash did. Every one of us need to ask him or himself, what kind of life am I building? What kind of legacy am I leaving with my family and for the world? Is it a legacy of evil, sin, and wickedness? Or a legacy of faith in the Lord, of righteousness and service to others? Am I living a righteous life, trusting the Lord for my salvation, worshiping Him constantly? Am I living a moral, clean, upright life, being kind and gracious to other people in both my speech and behavior? Am I walking humbly before others and respecting them? Or am I living a life of sin and wickedness, cursing and using profanity? Am I engaging in immorality and lawlessness, lying, stealing, cheating, getting drunk, participating in wild, vulgar parties? Am I being unkind, mean-spirited, mistreating people, acting selfishly towards others? Again, what kind of life are you building? And what kind of legacy are you leaving behind for the world? A legacy of faith in God, of consistent worship, righteousness, service to others, or a legacy of wickedness and evil? We go live every day. Praise the Lord. So listen to what the Lord of God is saying about living a life of sin and leaving a legacy of disobedience and rebellion. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, this is saying that after you die, in this death, this physical death, there's also a spiritual death. That spiritual death is eternal separation from God. That spiritual death is in a place of the lake of fire, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, with corruption. And that is somewhere that so many people, I mean, if you enter there, you'll wish that your enemies would not enter. I do not want you to be there. I want you to be somewhere that is so much better. And that is the eternal presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hello, Julia. So listen to what the Lord, the Word of God, says about living a life of righteousness and of service and leaving behind a legacy of faith in the Lord. This famous verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first His kingdom, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. all these things shall be added to you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whoever, in the name of the disciple, gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Amen. This is what happens when you live a life of righteousness. God will add to you. God will give you more. And he will give you everything that you need. Amen. He already gave you a gift of salvation, of eternal life with him. And you have to accept that gift. He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you have to accept that gift of the Holy Spirit into your life. He gave you the gift of the ability to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. He gave you the gift so that you will never go hungry again. The bread of life, the gift of living water so that you may never go thirsty again. When you follow in his ways, your cup overflows. He gave you a gift of more than enough. God of more than enough. God Almighty, El Shaddai. And that's why you need to follow Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. And turn to him. Repent. Follow him. Romans chapter 2, verse 10. It says, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, and to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. Now, doing good is doing good in the eyes of God. Doing what is right, what is righteous, what is holy. You may be a good person, but if you reject Jesus, that glory, honor, and peace that he's talking about is not for you. But if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that glory, honor, and peace is for you. You have a choice. And God is reaching out to you. And he's saying, I want to share my glory with you. I want to share honor with you. I want to share with you this everlasting peace that the world cannot offer. Only God can offer. So accept him as your Lord and Savior. For he has good gifts for you. Colossians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 34. It says, awake to righteousness. Be sober-minded as you ought, and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. For some have no knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. Strive for righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all will be added unto you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Knowing that whatever good things each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. I hope you guys are taking this in. That whatever good things you do for the Lord, he will add back to you. He'll give you more. And he's already given you more. You have to recognize that. He's already sacrificed all that, his life on that cross. And he's given you eternal life instead of eternal separation from God. Eternal security in him. He's given you the Holy Spirit. So live by faith and not by sight. Live in him and strengthen your faith in him. Hello, Kimberly. Your reward is if you continually say yes to Jesus forever in your life. If you don't persevere, if you don't endure through the trials and temptations of life, then you never receive the reward. The reward comes later. And the reward actually comes now as you receive the Holy Spirit who guides you, empowers you, leads you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 to 12 says, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Take hold of what? Of eternal life, of his goodness. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. This is a good one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 to 12, where Paul is writing to his disciple, to Timothy, a second generation or third generation Christian. His grandmother, his mother, they followed God. But what are we to do? To pursue. That means to chase after. That means is to long and hunger after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Can you memorize that? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, gentleness, and perseverance that endured. And you are to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, which you are called. Eternal life in God. Flee from evil. Flee from sin. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for a blessed hope and appearing in the glory of our God, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and desires, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 says, "But you should serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst." Some people wonder why I don't get sick very easily. And that's because we serve a God who is above sickness and disease. A God who blesses our bread, blesses our water, who we have communion with, every meal, recognizing Him as our Lord, our Savior, thanking Him for all His provision and His protection. And he said, "Here, I will take away sickness away from the midst of you." Amen. Andrew Wang, my brother. I love you, bro. You can come visit in 2 weeks. Our house will be opened for visitors. Yes. Job chapter 36, verse 7. He does not withdraw His eyes from the righteous. God does not withdraw His eyes from the righteous. But with kings on the throne, He has seated with them forever, for they are exalted. So, God's hands are upon the righteous. His protection, His provision is upon the righteous. Those who pursue righteousness seek first His kingdom and long to serve Him and walk in His ways. This is so good. Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. God is the provider. The righteous, they are not lacking. They have not been forsaken from God, by God. God says in Jeremiah that I have plans not to forsake you, not to leave you, not to abandon you, but to prosper you, to give you hope of a future, to give you good success. Praise the Lord. Coincidence or not, God is the one in control. Amen. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Isaiah chapter 33, verse 10, it says, "Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing, their labors, their actions." Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you." We have to sow into His righteousness, into the Spirit of God. Then you will reap eternal life. If you sow into your flesh, then you will reap corruption. So know where you're sowing your seeds. And your seeds can be your finance, can be your talents, your time, your energy. Where you spend your time and energy, there is where you're planting the seeds. It could be good or bad. And if you plant it in the Spirit, in God, He will for sure multiply it. He will for sure add to you. And He will for sure give you eternal life. Because this is what the Word of God says. You sow into the Spirit and you will reap eternal life. You sow into the flesh and you will reap corruption, ruin, destruction. Amen. Kimberly, Harmon, glory to God. And you're welcome. Yeah. I'm wanting to eat pho today for lunch, craving it. But I'm not sure if I'm able to. We'll see. I'm calling upon my younger brother, Stephen, to go eat, but I'm reluctant. Maybe I can call a brother or sister in Christ to do so. Anyways, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let us go through some application questions real quickly. It's been an hour and 15 minutes. What can you learn from how Jehoahaz and Joash handled an overwhelming situation? We can learn that Joash, he turned to himself and said, "Oh, I'll take what I have and I'll give it to the enemy to satisfy the enemy so that I will not die and I will not lose my kingdom." And lo and behold, his own official took his life and he was assassinated. And then Jehoahaz, he handled it by turning it to God and crying to God in desperation during times of crisis. And God delivered and he gave them a time of peace and stability. But the problem was he did not fully confess to God and turn to him. Instead, he turned to the old ways of the false idol worship. So both of them were in the wrong. But it shows how God delivers when you cry out to him. When you come before him and say, "Yes, Lord, I need more of you." What does God's response to Jehoahaz teach you about his faithfulness and grace? He's a gracious God, even though he knows that some fall short. All fall short. All have fallen short of the glory of God and sinned. And the wages of sin is death. But God, he gave you eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior, because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life. Shall not perish, not have eternal separation from God, but have eternal presence of God in their life, starting from when they accept Jesus into their hearts as their Lord and Savior and say yes to Jesus forever. So good. God is faithful. He comes through. He comes through. He already came through. And we must repent and turn to him. Number three, what are some things that divide Christians today? Some things that divide Christians today. I believe that some Christians are caught up with rituals, with religion, with their own corruption, with the refusal to humble themselves. And so they're not able to unite with others. Instead, because of their own deceitful desires, fleshly desires, they turn to themselves to solve the problems instead of turning to God himself. Hello, Nasser, Potter. And that's a big problem. We must turn to God in every situation. And to turn to him in the highs and the lows, God said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ." We must not be going for rituals and religion. We must be going for a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. A relationship that takes time to know him, know his promises, know his ways, to follow in his ways, to be obedient, to be humble, to acknowledge that we are powerless, but God is all powerful. We cannot do this on our own, but God can come through for us. Amen. And so Jesus is the ultimate glue, ultimate uniter, ultimate one that keeps people together. And I say my grandmother is the glue of the family for a long, long, long time. She's the one that holds the family together. When she gets sick, the whole family comes together like a family reunion. When there's a funeral, when there's any like retreat, she's the one that holds the family together. Now I understand why. Because she had Jesus in her. That she loved Jesus every day. And she would repeat every day to the very last day with her last breath. To praise God, to thank God, to glorify Him all the days of your life. The glue of the family is Jesus. The glue of the community is Jesus. The glue of the state, the country, the nation is Jesus Himself. Of the world is Jesus. We need Jesus. Without Jesus, the world is going to shambles, to ruin and destruction. We need to bring Jesus back into our life, into our family. Bring Jesus back into our community, into our school. Bring Jesus back into our state, into our city, into our nation. And that way we can be one nation under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all. One nation, indivisible, cannot be divided under one God, one true God, Yahweh, our Lord, our Savior. And number 4 out of 4, what might maintaining the unity of spirit look like in your community? Well, number 1, we're united in prayer. Number 2, we're united in the same word of God. We're reading this passage. Everyone's reading this passage as well. Together, dissecting it, taking what we learn and spreading it to each other. Glory to God. And what might maintaining the unity of spirit look like in your community? Teaching one another about the word of God. Leading each other towards one true God. Letting God be the one that operates, that leads us, that teaches us, and not ourselves. I cannot do this on my own. And that's why the words that I speak, I long for it to be the words of God. And that's why I start with the word of God. So that He may lead us and teach us and show His goodness and His love for each one of you. Amen. Donna Williams, thank you. Hello, Kirongo, Orphanage Ministry. Glory to God. Natalia, Chief. And yes, Kimberly Harmon. We're here in unity. We're saying yes. We're saying amen. We're saying glory to God. We're drawing close to Him. And that's the purpose of this live stream. Now I'm getting some messages. I must check to see if it's any important message, because I've been going over time. It's an hour 20 minutes here. And so I hope that you guys are able to be blessed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. So tomorrow, we got to talk about the perseverance, steadfastness of Elisha compared to these kings. Exciting times. It's going to be a great live stream tomorrow too. So, a letter to God. Lord, may I be a peacemaker in your church, in your community, in a family. May I be a peacemaker here in this nation to see justice and liberty for all. May I be your holy vessel. Be your ambassador. Be your royal priesthood and your holy nation, part of your holy nation. Help me, Lord, to discern the differences that should not cause division as we serve together to make Christ known to a lost and dying world. And Lord God, we just thank you that you love each and every one here. And I lift up my brothers and sisters that are here. I pray that your blessings, your provision, your glory, your goodness would be made known to them in their lives, and that they can experience your goodness and mercy. Lord God, I pray for wisdom, understanding, knowledge upon each one of them, so that they may walk in your ways, in your wisdom, in your love, in your goodness. Lord God, we commit to you each and every day to read your word, to praying to you, and to honoring you all the days of our life. We praise you because there's no one like you. We praise you because you're our Lord, our Savior. And we commit to you in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Natalia said, what time? I can't really say. I'm sorry. Because I have a baby boy. And the baby boy right now is somewhere else. Yeah. Just really a work in progress. But I just try to come on when I can. But in the morning. Mainly in the morning. And so, yeah. Thank you guys for the like, subscribe, for the follow. It helps the channel. It glorifies God. Eva Bobbies, hello there. Thank you. And I know God's going to continue blessing you. I'm really excited for tomorrow. I see my brothers and sisters messaging me. It's so good. It says, good morning. So good to hear your encouragement, insight, and fellowship during the post-young adult fellowship conversation yesterday. I just did today's devotion. It was amazing. I'm about to enter into a time of prayer and discernment. But basically, at the moment, I'm interested in speaking on this passage at Friday Night Youth. Glory to God. Amen. And so I have a sister in Christ. My sister Helen is interested in speaking on this passage at Friday Night Youth. And I'm so glad for that. Eva Bobbies, hello and God bless you. And thanks for the subscribe on TikTok. Wow. God is good. Autumn says, hello, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you too. Hello, CJ. He loves you too. God is reaching out to you guys. And the reason why there's so much brokenness, corruption, and pain in this world is because of sin. And that's why there's so many innocent children that die. And so we must pray for them. When's my birthday? It's January 16, 1990. Kimberly said, did you know that there would be war? There might be war. You know, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because the Bible says itself that be alert. You will hear of wars and rumors of war, and there will be wars. And I know there's war. Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, China, Taiwan, not really a war, but a Cold War. Somalia, war in Africa. And a lot of wars are proxy wars, just to launder money too. And we need to put an end to it. And Donald Trump, he promised he will end it. And that's why I respect that. We need to end it. And so we need to do our part in doing so. Amen. Yes. So we're not surprised. Autumn says, hello, my name is Autumn Rodriguez. I'm from El Paso, Texas. That's so awesome. Well, I lived in Texas for 5 years. I went to Waco, Texas, Baylor University. Got my degree there. I love today's devotion that I went to 90 minutes. Shocking. But glory to God. There's just so much to say. So much to think about. Yeah, for real. For real. My birthday is on January 16th. It's not... It's in the winter, not the summer. Thank you. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen. Yeah. Some people feel like they're just existing. But we're not just existing. We have more. There's more to come. Give glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, I gotta go. It's been 90 minutes. And it's been a great live session. I thank you guys for joining me. And we know that this daily devotion, this Jesus time, is so important. We need to repent. We need to know Him more. Did I include the gospel? Jesus died on the cross, raised from the dead, defeated sin and death, so that we may live in His victory, so that we may live in His presence, and that we may live in His goodness, His mercy. He gave us the Holy Spirit. This is what God did. Praise God. Well, take care, guys. Panda out for now. I'll see you later. In Jesus' name, amen.